Have you ever noticed that people around you seem to be picked for certain tasks or projects? How about this? Have you ever seen a coworker or colleague out of nowhere be offered a promotion or an increase in their level of responsibility? When you've seen those situations happen, what did you immediately think? Did you wish the person well, or did you have somewhat negative thoughts? Why wasn't that me? How are they different than I am? What are they doing that I'm not? It's okay to have self-doubt, and it's okay to question. Today, we're going to talk about the potential lack of confidence you have and how it can hurt you. Join me for episode 194 of the Career Growth Made Easy podcast, A Lack of Confidence Can Hurt You. I was an engineer, and in 2008, lost my job due to the economic collapse. Jobs were scarce. I didn't know where to turn to get help updating my resume. Online services and coaches charge hundreds, even thousands of dollars. I took matters into my own hands and learned how to craft interview-winning resumes. Shortly later, I landed a job with a Fortune 500 company. I have helped many achieve similar success. Now I share my tips to create interview-winning resumes, interviewing excellence, and high-performance growth strategies on my podcast, Career Growth Made Easy. Welcome back to the Career Growth Made Easy podcast. I'm your host, Craig Ansell. Today we're talking about a little bit of a sensitive subject, and the show is titled, A Lack of Confidence Can Hurt You. Now, most people don't go around saying, oh, I have a lot of confidence, or, you know what, I'm not really that confident. You don't wear that on your shoulder. You don't wear that on your badge going around announcing that. I get it. But we're going to talk about some of the ways that your perceived confidence or your perceived lack of confidence can be seen by others. You might not think that it's out there, but it is. I had a show I had done quite some time ago, and it was basically talking about how you're always being interviewed. Maybe not when you're going in for a job interview, that's obvious, all right? But think about all the other times besides the job interview. People are always picking up what you're putting down. They're always seeing, they're always processing, whether they mean to or not. The brain is always absorbing information. It's always scanning the environment. And with that, when you're in that environment, whether you're working quietly in the corner with a team, potentially presenting, whatever the case may be, maybe you cross paths with someone at work. They're always processing information about other people. It can even be done subconsciously. Okay. And the point behind today's show is talking about our confidence levels. Some of us have low confidence levels. Maybe we're lacking some self-esteem, some self-confidence. Others of us have moderate confidence. And then some people have extremely high confidence. And we're going to talk about how confidence represents itself with regards to the way that we perform at work or even in our personal activities. Thinking about work, have you noticed that certain people have continuously been asked to do certain tasks that are above and beyond their job duty or job description? Is it always those same people? What about when projects come around that are special or unique? Maybe they offer travel with the project. It might even be an international project to a really great destination. You'd wished you had been picked for that, or you're hoping that another opportunity comes up and you'll be recognized this time. What happens in your mind when you're not selected? I think it's natural to have a little bit of self-doubt, a questioning attitude, if you will, saying it more nicely, but there might even be some sarcasm or negative thought about the people or the person that was selected. And it's not that we dislike that person that was chosen in most cases, but we might do a comparison. We might think about, what is it that they're doing? What is it that they're achieving? How is it that they're acting that made them be recognized or asked if they wanted to support that special project? In the case of people receiving taps on the shoulder and possibly being offered a position of greater responsibility, it may not be a formal promotion, but it might come on the heels of a promotion. You just wonder, hey, what's going on here? Well, it could be part of what's going on, and what's seen with people is their confidence, their perceived confidence, as well as perceived lack of confidence. So we're going to focus on confidence for today's show. Your confidence level can be seen by the way you look at people. Do you look at people eye to eye, or are you always looking away, not making eye contact? I know in some cultures it's not respectful to look directly into the eye, at least for a prolonged period of time, and I'm not really familiar with those. I just wanted to mention it. So if you have the ability, and it doesn't go against your culture to look someone in the eye, that would be a good way to start out. Just take a momentary pause when you meet them or when you're talking and look them in the eye so that you can feel that there's some type of connection, a visual sharing going on with each other. From there then, as you scan the room, don't be afraid of other people there, even if they're in management or leadership. Try to process each individual person and give them a little bit of your face time, so to speak, your vision time. How about your body posture when you're at work, when you're walking in the aisles or the hallways? And how about when you're presenting, whether it's virtually on the computer or in person, if you've ever given a talk or a speech or had to, you know, report out at the end of the day or end of the week's status of something? Do you have your shoulders rolled forward and are you kind of hunched over, you know, kind of poor posture? Or do you have your shoulders back and you're standing up pretty straight? Our body language can also play a role in how we have perceived confidence. That, along with our ability to scan a room, make occasional eye contact, that will help us with our confidence levels. But if you have the exact opposite effect, you don't stand straight, you don't appear confident in your posture and your stance, and then you have a difficult time looking at people, perhaps you just focus down on whatever you're holding in your hands, a report, some notes, or you talk to the screen, talk to the projection on the wall, that's really not a good way to do things, because your back should not be turned to the people in the room. In fact, your back should probably be facing the projector, rather what's projected on the wall, and you should be facing your audience at most times. It's okay to reference what's on the projection on the wall, but you should not turn away from your audience, giving them your side or your back. With that said, when you speak, do you speak with confidence, or is your voice shaky? If you start to feel kind of a little uncomfortable, a little bit of a rumble in your stomach, kind of like people say butterflies in your stomach, maybe when you get the top of if you want to think about rides, top of a big roller coaster, and right as you start to go down, you get that surge of excitement, adrenaline, but then your stomach feels kind of funny as you start to free fall and go down. If that's how you feel in speaking, no big deal. It's happened to everyone. I occasionally feel that way, and I'm hiding behind this microphone here, okay? You can't see me at the moment, but sometimes just hearing our own voice and speaking into a room can make us feel uncomfortable. We need to then challenge ourselves in whatever ways that we feel that we're lacking presentation skills, lacking confidence, or the appearance of confidence, and work on those things. So let's back up a minute and talk about the areas I covered. Are you able to make eye contact? If not, start to work on that. Start looking at pictures of people. Start looking at yourself in a mirror. I know it sounds funny, but that is one of the great ways that I've practiced over the years for presentation skills, as well as when I'm going out and giving a talk or a speech. I will make sure I monitor myself in a mirror. And in doing so, I recognize if I'm rocking back and forth, appearing nervous or anxious. I also watch my hands, my body posture. Am I closed up with maybe my hands on my belt or in my pockets? Or do I take a broader, wider stance? Now, I'm not really going to give a talk about stage confidence and stage presence, but what I will say is this. Most of the time, we appear small, we lack confidence. And the way you can appear small, I'm not talking about your body size, I'm talking about the appearance of how much space you take up when you're presenting or talking. Are your arms and hands at your sides kind of, or even in front of you, in front of your legs, kind of closed up? Or are your arms and hands a little wider out, kind of a wider posture? In that way, you're demanding presence, you're demanding space, you're taking up area, screen area if you're presenting on video, and you're taking up space when you're talking with others. Having a slightly bigger presence does give the potential appearance of increased confidence. Certainly the opposite applies if your hands are in your pockets or if your hands are kind of cupped in front of your body, in front of your torso, you're shrinking your size of your presentation because your arms are rolling inward, possibly you're hunching over a little bit. And so that would be the exact opposite of having confidence by taking a small physical stance. The next would be that eye contact. Try to give everybody in the room that you're speaking to eye contact. Even if they're not looking at you, they're, you know, looking at something else, their phones, their smart devices, computers, or having a quiet conversation when you're switching slides, for example, just making a note between two people. Try to scan the room and look at each person. If they don't make eye contact, at least you've done that process, right? Scanning the room gives you the ability to recognize people's body language. You start to learn more about how people are feeling, how people are reacting. You could try to read their faces as well as their bodies. You know, people that lean forward usually show interest in things. The same thing happens with interviews and interviewing staff. If they lean back or if they cross their arms, typically means that they're less interested, or in some cases with a presentation, it could be absorbing. It depends on the seating of the room. But then also crossing your arms can show that you're closed off, right? It has the mental presentation of being closed off, not willing to listen or absorb information. So it would be really great if we had open arm stance, open body stance, a little bit wider, and scanned our room or scanned the people we're speaking with. But then also your voice. If you get nervous and your voice shakes, practice talking to other people. And then, you know what I do? I actually can record not only my voice, but with video. I'll see how I do when I give a presentation. You'll notice maybe rocking, your hands finding your pockets, things like that. And it's distracting when you're presenting. Your hands should be available so that you can use them and animate your presentation and call out certain things. Even if you touch your head just to say, hey guys, I have an idea. Or, you know, if you clap your hands, all right, let's start this meeting with some excitement. Anything like that catches people's eye, gets you some attention, and shows that you have some confidence. Now, word choice is also pretty important for showing that you have confidence. We try to avoid filler words. Those would be the ums and uhs out there. And basically, what happens with filler words during speaking is that many of us feel uncomfortable with silence. And when that silence comes up, we try to fill it. Guess what we fill it with? Usually non-value added words. That's right. Somehow, what I was going to present today and is about how many taxes we have to pay for the, or how much taxes we have to pay for the upcoming show. And we sometimes just feel uncomfortable with silence. When you learn to pause, use what I call powerfully placed pauses, it really shows control of your voice and speaking, and you can command and control the room, the conversation, as well as any presentations. Using that silence, while it may feel uncomfortable at first, and fractions of a second or even a second or two can seem like minutes and even longer, whether you're presenting on stage or in a small room, you'd be surprised if you do these coaching techniques I've mentioned about talking into a mirror, looking in the mirror, recording yourself, and then actually using a timed recording to see how long your pauses are. That pause was less than a second, but it seemed really, really long. Even with music now, when we're listening, we don't like dead air. We don't like dead space, right? We always want something happening, something going on around us, so we can use pauses and that silence to our benefit. By the way, using pauses is really impressive because the pause and the silence, as I mentioned, are commanding. It really shows that you have a strong commitment and a strong ability to communicate when you use pauses like that. I'm trying to take a look here. I had a show quite a while back, and if I can find it while we're on, I will. Otherwise, I'll pause with the magic of the pause button and come back. Let's see here. Aha! It is episode 51. This is a show I did a couple years ago, but episode 51, Powerfully Placed Pauses. I go into great detail on how they work, why they work, and, you know, kind of what risks to avoid when learning how to use pauses. So you might be interested in that. And then 55 was a great show, getting rid of and filler words. It was truly amazing when I did the research for those shows because I was not aware of the fact that we us humans, we don't like silence in most cases. However, using some of the techniques I briefly mentioned here and then on those two shows, you can learn to master pauses and master silence. It'll take some time, and some people will react differently than others, but in the end, it will help you with your command of the English language of speech. It will help you with your presence one-on-one, in speaking, during presentations, whatever the case, and it will slowly increase your confidence. That pause can really help you when you take a look at those other shows and give a listen, because it gives you the ability to think. It gives you the ability to process and choose your words by avoiding those filler words. So it's kind of exciting to go back and listen to 51 and 55. Really enjoyed putting those shows together, and I think you'll get a kick out of it and some good information to help you. So as we start to wrap up today's episode, which is 193, nope, we'll try that again, 194, a lack of confidence can hurt you. Think about your presence today. Are you known as someone that stands tall and broad and takes control or command? Or are you someone that kind of hides in the shadows, so to speak, and has a small presence? If you're interested in improving your self-confidence, try some of those techniques. I'd love to hear from you if you have, or as you do. And you can always reach out on social media at Craig Ancel. That's CRAIGANCEL. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and also now on TikTok. It's Career Coach Craig. Any feedback you'd like to give about today's show, or if you have any questions or content you'd like to hear on a future show, we're always reading our comments and happy to work with you to build a show, maybe customized for a situation you've gone through or you're going through. Because here's the thing, you might have already solved your problem, but there are so many hundreds and thousands of people out there that could go through the same problem you did, and I really think it's best to share our lessons learned, our best practices. Sometimes we have a lesson learned or a best practice that we want to accept and we want to repeat. So we'll share that news, that information. Other times it's a negative lesson learned. Something went down, something went wrong, we had a problem, there was some damage, there was an issue, something cost more than it should have, we fell behind schedule, or we found out maybe with career growth, we found out we missed an opportunity for a promotion or a raise because of something that happened. If we can share that information with others, that would be something to avoid. In fact, probably by doing the exact opposite of what happened to you or I, we would be avoiding it and therefore instilling positive values, lessons learned, and best practices. Thank you so much for being a valuable listener of my Career Growth Made Easy podcast. I've been your host, Craig Ancel. We're closing up 194, A Lack of Confidence Can Hurt You. I hope I've given you some food for thought and a couple other episodes to reference. Love to hear from you. Have a blessed week ahead. We'll talk again soon. See ya!